Torah in this week's parsha discusses ira nidachas. You have a person who is over the avodah zarah, and Eidim saw it, and Eidim come to Beis Din, and they testify that this person was over the avodah zarah. So the halacha is over the avodah zarah is chayav skila. However, if majority of the city were over the avodah zarah, then there is a new halacha that applies to the whole city, and therefore the Beis Din paskin that this city has a stamp ira nidachas, and then they're only chayiv sayif, the sword, their heads are cut off, but they're not chayiv the chomer misa of skila, and their properties are all now, they don't inherit their properties to their children, all their property is lost, and there are a few other halachas that we will discuss throughout this year. Is this relevant halacha l'maisa? So if you look in Hilchos Avelos, so the Ramah has two opinions. He quotes the Yesh Omer Machlokas between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, whether or not, you know, parents are very influential people, for the good and for the bad. Many times, parents do something good, so then the kid follows. Do mitzvahs, so the kid follows, the kid mimics his parents. However, there are certain times that parents explore other religions, and you have a parent that decided to join Christianity or some other religion, and the children follow suit, and the children say, I'm gonna do whatever the father does. But they're mimicking their parents. So the question is, if you have of course when it comes to the parent, we're not going to sit avelus for such a person. However, when it comes to the child, and the child is a minor, so will you sit avelus for such a person or not? So there's a debate between two shittas in the Ramah, originally the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. The Rabbeinu Tam said, of course you're not going to sit avelus. And I'll bring you a proof. The proof is from a Mordechai, one of the Rishonim in the end of Sanhedrin. The end of Sanhedrin discusses the concept of ira nidachas. And there's a machlokas tanoim between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva whether or not one of the halachos that ira nidachas, which we didn't mention yet, is whether or not you kill the children of such an ir. The parents who were over at Avodah Zarah, we wipe out the city. However, what about the children of those people that were over at Avodah Zarah? So Rabbi Elazar says, you kill the children as well. You wipe out everyone. Noshim v'tach, the woman and children. We have no rachmanis over here. It's an ira nidachas. And Rabbi Kiva debates this. And Rabbi Kiva says, what did the children do wrong? Why should you kill the children? Major machlokas between the Tanon. The Rabbi Natan writes, their debate is only about whether you kill the children. However, says Rabbi Natan, whether one sits avelus for those children, that is not even a debate between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, and everyone would agree that you do not sit avelus for those children. The Ri responds to Rabbi Natan, because Rabbi Natan is using this as a proof, and saying, and therefore, a katan, a child, who followed his mother to follow another religion, you would never sit avelus, just as we find that none of the Tanaim were of the opinion that you sit avelus for a katan in the ira nidachas. So the Ri responds to the Rabbeinu Tam, and he says, I don't see the proof at all. I have two questions on you, Rabbeinu Tam. On the one hand, there's no proof from ira nidachas for two separate reasons. First of all, these children were much older of age. The children that Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that were killed, and that you, Rabbi Natan, are of the opinion that not even Rabbi Akiva would agree that you would sit avelus, those were older children. And then the Ri makes a second point. He says, and even if without that, he says, this is an ira nidachas. Why are you comparing Hilchos Avelus when it comes to a child following their parents to other religions, to Christianity, whatever it is, that we're not going to sit avelus, to the halacha of ira nidachas? Ira nidachas is different. Ira nidachas is not the paradigm, and we can't necessarily compare it. And I personally, at the face of it, don't understand either of the points of the Ri and arguing in Rabbeinu Tam.
He tried to say,
he's trying to say that ira nidachas. Okay, first of all, explain it. Why is it such a halacha? Rebbe Tam makes a lot of sense. If we hold responsibility for a child's actions in an Eirin Nedacha, so let that be the paradigm for everywhere else.
The chiddush there is that even those who did not worship Avodah Zarah will be killed.
So that is a debate we're going to have to discuss, but from the face of it, it seems like from the Rishonim that they're discussing children who were Ovid Avodah Zarah, and therefore the Gemara is discussing, the Rishonim are discussing, are children responsible for their actions or not? And the first point of the Re, to say that these children were much older children. In my rule book, when it comes to the Torah, I have one age, 13. You're chayav for, you're responsible for your actions or you're not. If these children are minors, which is, of course, that is for sure the discussion over there. They're top, they're little children. What does it matter whether or not they're 8, they're 7, they're 3? Who cares what stage of being a katan they are? It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, 13 is the cutoff for responsibility. So why should the Re say to the Rebbe Tam, Irini Dachas was a different story because those children who were under the age of 13 were older children? I don't understand either of these points. I think to answer and to gain understanding in the Mordechai, in the Yeshitas of the Rishonim, and ultimately understand the Ramah, we need to delve a little more into the halacha of Irini Dachas. There's a fundamental question that the Minchas Chinuch raises on the concept of Irini Dachas. Again, when an Irini Dachas occurs, so what happens is that I came to Bezin, like a regular scenario, two people come to Bezin, were made about you that you were Ovid Avodah Zarah, you're Chaya Skila. Once we tally up, and it seems like majority of the city were Ovid Avodah Zarah, so then two Adim come to Bezin. Bezdin HaGadol, they go to the large Bezdin, 71 Dayanin, and they tell them, we see that majority of the city were Ovid Avodah Zarah, let's give this ear a halacha of Irini Dachas, and then the Bezdin HaGadol, the 71 Dayanin, Paskin, there is an Irini Dachas over here, and then there's new halachos. First of all those people will not be killed with skila. They won't be stoned. Their heads will be chopped off. Secondly, Their women and children, according to Rabbi Elazar, will be killed. And thirdly, they won't have any property. They will lose all their property. They won't be giving any of their property to their inheritance.
Did they have to get hasra?
That's a very good point. A new hasra, that's your accuracy.
A new hasra.
Right. They have to get, for sure, originally they have to get a hasra.
Possibly to the kids may not.
You bring up a very valid point. Who said, and according to many of the Tanoim, the Hasra has to be said, you are going to get Skila for this. So if I'm going to get Sayas, if my head's going to be chopped off, who said anything about Sayas to me? What, suddenly you could just change my halacha? Who, how do you understand? So the Minchas Chinuch raises another fundamental problem. We have a concept in the Gemara of Makos called Edus She'ata Yochol Lahazima. There has to be a consequence. When people come into to Bezdin, there has to be a fear factor. You have to know that there is consequence to what you're about to say. If you are lying, and people prove that to us, you will be killed, and whatever you wanted to happen, what you want to be mazim, so that will occur to you. So the Gemara in Makos, in the beginning of Makos, discusses what happens if I want to discuss a person, I want to give edus about a person who's a Ben Grusha, whose his father was a Kohen and his mother was a Grusha, which ultimately will make him into a Chol. So then the Gemara says, how could you ever give edus about such a person? When you're going to testify about such a person, you're going to make him a Chol, but you're also going to affect his descendants, his children. So that's much worse than what's going to happen to you. If the Torah returns back to you and says to you, oh, you're going to get Malchus, or we can't actually make you a Chol, your parents are not a Ben Grusha, but you can't affect his Zerah. That zera is much, much, much worse, more stringent than what ultimately will happen to you. So the Gemara says, lo v'lo zaro. The Gemara says, what you intended to do, you intended to affect many different people. Not only this person, you intended to affect even his descendants, that they're going to be psulim, because they're going to be descendants from a cholo. So the Gemara says, this should be a problem, this should be a problem in that area of Hilchos Eidus, because you will never be able to stand back onto there will never be a consequence factor back onto these Eidim, that they're going to receive what they wanted to get. So the Gemara deals with that question. However, the Minchas Chinuch says, the same problem exists by an Irin Edachas. This person wanted to testify and say that these people were Ovid Avodah Zarah, majority of these people were Ovid Avodah Zarah. Now what's going to happen? Not only will they be killed, but their children will be killed as well. So we're not going to kill the Eden's children. So why shouldn't? Why is this allowed to happen? This, the Minchas Kunach rites, should be invalid Eidus because there is no consequence that will occur from these Eidim. They wanted to affect many different people, not only the people that were Ovi Avera. So why is it that when it comes to the Eidim themselves, we accept their Eidus if we're not going to affect their children? So one could make a distinction, and one could say that when it comes to the Eidus in Makos, right, you're really testifying on a psul that part of implicit in that psul is that the children directly come out of that. Meaning that's a chelik of my edus on the person, is that his children will be possible. Part of being a chalal is that your children will be chalalim. Over here, if one assumes like one opinion in the Tosefta of Legabe Sanhedrin, that in Ir Nidachas the children were also Oved Avodah Zarah. So then I'm testifying about 100 different people. Not only am I testifying about the parents, I'm testifying about the children, I'm testifying about the woman, everyone here was Oved Avodah Zarah. There's no halacha that I don't have the ability to testify about 100 different people. There's a halacha that each one of those 100 different people, I will get the penalty that I wanted them to get. So if I'm testifying about many different people, so fine. That is one opinion that's given to answer this question. But again, that's assuming that everyone, in this case of Yeranidachas, including the children, did violate the Avera of Yeranidachas, which is not necessarily clear. So Rav Soloveitchik, as well as his uncle, Rav Soloveitchik had an uncle from the Feinstein side. You know, Rav Soloveitchik was a cousin of Rav Moshe Feinstein. So one of his uncles was Rav Menachem Krakowski. He was the Rav in Chaslavitch, and he in a town in Lithuania, and a lot of his farm were lost in the war. But he wrote a sefer Avodas HaMelech, and he answered that we have a misunderstanding, which I think will answer your question as well. When it comes to Ir Nidachas, so what happens? Two Eidim walk into Bezdin, and they say this person was Oved Avodah Zarah. Okay, so Bezdin says, let's go, fine. Oved Avodah Zarah, you're Chayav Skila, that's it. End of story. Then it starts recurring. It starts recurring and recurring. And there are a lot of Bezdins being involved in this problem. The Gemara says they add other Bezdins to find out if there's actually going to be majority of the city. And they start to tally up, and people are starting to think, oh, there seems to be majority of the city is being Oved Avodah Zarah. So then two other Eidim take a simple number. They make a cheshbon, and they count up that there seems to be majority of the city. And they take a trip down to the Bezdin HaGadol to 71 Dayanim. Again, when it's just regular skila, the beginning case was just 23 Dayanim. That's capital punishment, that's all you need. However, now because we're going to deal with Ir Nidachas, now we go to the Bezdin HaGadol. Now we go to the Bezdin of 71 Dayanim. And now what do these Bezdin say? These Bezdin, writes the uncle of Rav Soloveitchik, the Avodas HaMelech, and Rav Soloveitchik also said, had this understanding. These people don't say anything about Avodah Zarah. They're not discussing what was discussed already, that this person was Oved Avodah Zarah and that person was Oved Avodah Zarah. That the best thing already, they present the number. They present that it seems like there might be an Ir Nidachas over here. So what happens is that the Eidus that was accepted on this person, that's still valid. That still exists. Now on top of that is another halacha, a halos, let's call it klapi the ear. We now will set a halacha that applies to the city. We're not going to discuss every person separately. And now we're going to discuss whether or not this ear, this city, has a din of an ear and idachas. You know, I think, you know, in Jewish politics, you know, when one city doesn't like a city, so they say, that city has a din of an ear and idachas. You know, they're not, that's the way the Bezdin HaGadol, the Gemara's lashon is, osin Ir Nidachas. They make it. They don't paskin a din of Ir Nidachas on a person. You create a new halos called an Ir Nidachas. They didn't discuss the case. So Mamela, your question about Hasra would then not be a question. And then there are many different halachos that are impacted that come out of that. On one hand, we're not talking about, the Rav said, that necessarily the children did an Avera. They didn't violate anything. One of the halachos that come out of that is that a person His children will be killed as well because they're a part of the city. See, on the same vein, the property of that city will now be, the Gemara says, Chayrim, it will be Yerchram Hashem, it will be prohibited, no one will be allowed to get pleasure from that, and you'll lose all the property. So the Avodas HaMelech said that there's, and the Rav explained, that there no one was over out there. The children did not necessarily violate the Isser, the prohibition of Avodah Zarah. However, there's a Chalos that now they decide, based on a number, that now this city has a din of an Ir Nidachah. So if that's the case, the Rav explained, there's another question that you answer with this Yisod. Because there's a very important debate between the Ramban and Rav Sadiqa in next week's Parsha. Very important debate. When you have a capital punishment case, you have a case that requires 23 Dayanim to deliver capital punishment. So now, the question is, when the Edim come in, so do all the Dayanim, all 23 Dayanim have to wake up early and come to Bezin to accept the Edim? 6:20 in the morning. Sometimes it can be very early.
4:00 in the morning.
Oh. So does that have to occur, or is it enough? No. Let the Dayanim all sleep late. Let 20 of the Dayanim sleep late. And then technically, the secretary has to make the coffee. So let the others, the three Dayanim, show up early, and then they'll accept the Edim, and then the Bezdin will decide later. So Rav Sadiq Gaon says, absolutely. Let the other 20 Dayanim sleep late. Not a problem. The Ramban says, what do you mean? This Edus, this testimony, is going to lead to the capital punishment. And you think not all 23 Dayanim have to be there? That's ridiculous. And this debate happens to be a machlokus between Rashi and the Ran and Sanhedrin and Daf Yud Zayin, whether or not it's in a different fashion. The Gemara discusses whether or not Rashi and the Ran have a debate whether or not all the 23 Dayanim have to know all 70 languages. Because effectively, that's the same thing. They have to understand Aden that's speaking Portuguese, whatever it is. So, that's the halach. So, the Minchasinach asked a question I don't understand. How is the Ramban, who is of the opinion that you have to have all 23 Dayanim for the Edus as well, how's the Ramban going to understand Ir Nidachas? How's the Ramban going to understand that in the case of Ir Nidachas, you had 23 Dayanim that were judging this person and he said he's Chayav Skila, this person and he said he's Chayav Skila. Then two Edim walk into the Beis Din HaGadol, they don't repeat the Edus, there was no 71 Dayanim hearing about this person, whether he's Chayav Sayef or not, whether he's Chayav for his head to be chopped off. The answer is, because we're not discussing your Maisa Avera, we're not discussing your Isser Avera, you're not discussing your Avodah Zarah either. You're discussing a din that applies to the city, a halos that applies to the city, and that will have many ramifications. One of the ramifications that it will have, it will kill the children. One of the ramifications that it will have, it will prohibit all pleasure from all of the property of the city. And no one's going to discuss, so therefore it doesn't come into the discussion between the Ramban and the Rav Sadigon, which is a regular halacha of whether or not the 23 Dayanim in capital punishment have to be there when they receive the aid. So that is the opinion of Rav Soloveitchik, as well as many others, that this Tosefta is to be understood that no one did any prohibition over here, the children were not over any violation over here, and yet they are still killed.
Do you think the children are part of the denominator when doing the math? Or is it if there's a town of...
No, they're not.
They're not. You just look at the math.
Right, correct. Which would also shed light on this. Right. So that was the opinion of Soloveitchik, and that was the opinion of his uncle, Rav Krakowski. There's a Krakowski now in YU. I think he's a grandson. That there's a chalos that applies to the ear, and that's how you understand ear and idacha. That's how you understand the debate between Ramban and Rav Sadigon when it comes to the Menachas Menach has the question. Yeah, and it's funny. You should know. I like to sometimes find. You know, I've been in two phases of my life. I went to Eretz Yisrael, and I've been in YU for many years.
What about you, Nick?
So that's part of my YU experience. So Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, one of the greatest Rosh Hashivas ever in Ponovich, really had an unbelievable mind. So he has the same exact proofs to Rav Soloveitchik. From the Ramban, from the Rav Sadigon, and it's beautiful when you see that two geniuses coming from two different worlds, they all came to the same analysis.
They're the same world.
Oh, it's a true. I'll tell you a story about Rav Shmuel Rozovsky later. So that is the opinion of Rav Soloveitchik and his uncle from his mother's side. However, the problem is, like I said before, this is not the opinion of everyone. And what about the Rav's family from his father's side? Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was of the opinion that these children did do an Aveira. These children did transgress Avodah Zarah, and that's why they are to be killed as well. So the question is obvious. First of all, where do we find that children are responsible for their actions? Again, how do we deal with this debate? Again, the Rav's analysis didn't answer any of our questions that we presented at the beginning of this year. That seemed to be the focus of Hilchos Avelos. What's the discussion between the Ri and the Rebbe Tam? Why is Ir Nidachas a Chiddush? Why is an Ir Nidachas a Yotzim and a Klal that we can't use as a paradigm for other halachos? Whether or not a Katan that follows his parents, Katan Shehimer Daito, a Katan that follows his parents to another religion, whether we sit Avelos? And also, when do we find a distinction between an older katan, a younger katan that the Ri responded to Rebbeinu Tam? Don't bring me a raya from an Ir Nidachas. Those children, those were older children. But they're still minors. They're not responsible for their actions. So what's going on over here? And Reb Chaim, apparently there was a debate. I don't know if they let the children hear this, but there was a debate in the family from the mother's side to the father's side whether or not the children were responsible for the Avodah Zarah that they did in Ir Nidachas. So there's an analysis of the Vilna Gaon, which is really a beautiful analysis which really sheds light on the whole concept of Ir Nidachas. The Vilna Gaon writes that he thinks, what's going on over here that suddenly there's a switch of capital punishment? You were Oved Avodah Zarah when you were Chayav Skila, and as a Yachid on my own, when I had decided to be Oved Avodah Zarah, I would be stoned, I would get this really stringent punishment, and then Beis Din, once majority of the city decides to be Oved Avodah Zarah, so then we'll be Mekel on you. We'll only chop your head off, which is not even close to Skila. It's maybe the second of stringent punishments. What do we make on this guy? And if you look at the lashon of the Mishnah in Perek Chelek, the last Perek of Sanhedrin, Perek Chelek, and yeshivas, a lot of people don't do. Because there's a lot of agadah and no one really has any idea what's going on there. But they always miss these two blot at the end of the Masechta, which are all the halachas of the Ir Nidachas. There's one sugya there that's very relevant, which is the sugya in this week's parsha of Ir Nidachas. So the Mishnah there has a very interesting lashon. When it comes to the Yechid, the Mishnah says, Misasan Chamura, they get skila, they get stoned, it's a stringent punishment. Lefichach, Mamonan Palat. Therefore, we allow them to inherit their nechus and their property to their children. But if the ear nidachas, the merubim, misasan chamura, misasan kal, and therefore memonon avad. Therefore, we have to get rid of all their property. We cannot allow them to inherit their property to their children. So it sounds like I'm a shuk over here. It sounds like an auction. Who wants a stringent misa, and therefore you'll be able to keep your property? And if you want a more chamer misa, so then what's going on? We have a decision over here. It's like a half price deal. You can get a stringent penalty, and you won't have to lose your money, or you can lose your money, but you can get a less misa. You know, who cares about their body more than their children? What's going on over here? The mission doesn't make any sense. And it says lefichach, since you're chayav skila, therefore lefichach. Your mamon is saved. Therefore, your property is given to your children, and you save your property. And if misasim b'sayif, if it's an ir nidachas, that you get this more the more mekel, the more lenient penalty. So then lefichach mamon and avad. Then therefore, we'll lose your property. What therefore? What does one have to do with the other? Sounds like just an auction.
What's the order here? If you're found guilty, they don't wait until they do math.
So the Gemara has a debate about this. One opinion is that yes, they do. They tie you down and they wait until they finish. However, that's not the way we paskin. The Gemara says we add many Beis Dins. We try to bring in all the troops. We try to bring in as many Batei Dinim as possible to try to don them, to try to decide as quick as possible.
In other words, simultaneously.
Right, correct. That's the debate in the Gemara, and that's the way we seem to paskin. So what's going on over here? What's going on in this cheshbon of the Gemara, this auction? It doesn't make any sense. So the Vilna Gaon said like this. What does it mean? You went as a yachid, you were down, they judged you in Beis Din, you're chayav skila, you were Oved Avodah Zarah. And then once we tally it up in the Beis Din HaGadol, like we said before, so then we decide, no, Nisasim B'Sayif. Who else is Nisasim B'Sayif? If you look through the Gemara of the Sanhedrin about capital punishment, there's one group of people that no matter what they do, they always are killed with saif. They're always, their heads were chopped off. No matter what the aver, they could be bol arayas, they could be dugneva, no matter what it is, aver menachai, they're always obligated in saif. And that's Bnei Noach. That's goyim. They always have saif. And the halacha is, when it comes to goyim, if a Torah says something is aser, the Torah doesn't have to repeat itself. When it comes to Klal Yisrael, the Torah always has to repeat every prohibition twice. You look through sugyas, the Gemara says, okay, that pasuk is for the azhara. That's the warning. Where's the onesh? Where's the penalty? The Gemara always has to set up a system. We have a warning in one pasuk, we have a matching punishment that is not necessarily saif. It could be one of four possibilities. There seems to be a whole categorization, there seems to be a whole system over here. That's not the case when it comes to goyim. The Torah says, don't eat Eivim Menachai, you eat Eivim Menachai, you're done. Saif. And we don't need Hasra, we don't need any of that stuff. What's the difference? What's the difference between goyim and Klasra? The difference is, who the Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses, where do we get this idea of saif, chopping off one's head? So the answer is, we get it from the goyim, from the Malachim. When you are living in a king's state, or you are living in a king's city, and you're Mori B'Malchus, and you rebel against the king, he doesn't even want to hear boo about this. Not two times, not one time. You're creating your social havoc. You're creating a problem for the king over here. He chops your head off. Goyim are avodim to the Melech Malchi Amlochim. They're not bonim. This week's parsha, Losus Gozu in Re'eh, says only Klal Yisrael is bonim l'mokom. But the goyim are not banim, they're not children, they're avadim. They're part of the Ribbono Shel Olam's malchus. The second they don't listen to the melech, chop his head, that's it. You don't repeat anything, that's it. There's not a specific avera that has to get a specific misa that applies to the four misas bezdin that apply to Klal Yisrael. Because when it comes to Klal Yisrael, there's two things. On the one hand, we want to eradicate this person from society because ubiyarta rami kebecha, because this person is a problem and is going to cause havoc for society. However, there's also a specific misa that is categorized for this person, for this specific avera, that is in the saif category, that is in the skila category, that is in the srefa category, because different penalties affect the cleansing process of each person. When we administer penalty to Klal Yisrael, to Jews, we ultimately want to send them to Olam Haba. We ultimately want to give them a kapara. So there's two aspects to Misas Bezdin when it comes to a Jew. It's on the one hand eradicating them, it's getting them out of society, it's removing them from society, but on the other hand, we want to give them a specific Misa in order to give them a kapara. That's because they're banim l'makom. They're not only avodim to the Melech Malchi Amlochim. However, when it comes to Bnei Noach, that's it. Just get rid of them. Just chop off their head. They were more of the Malchus. There's no specific Maisa Avera that needs a specific punishment in order to atone for that specific Avera. There's no system. Rather, it's just, they were over the Avera, it was said once, that's it. And this is Rosh Chodesh Elul coming up. This, the Birkei Yosef, the Chidah writes, is the reason two times in Shmona Esrei, look today. There's two times that we mention the language of Avinu. Slach lanu Avinu and Hashivenu Avinu l'sorasecha. Only by Slicha and Tshuva do we mention the language of Avinu. Because we are different than the Goyim. We have a concept of Tshuva, we have a concept of Kapara, whereas the Goyim don't have this concept. Because all they are Avadim l'melech. And therefore, writes the Vilna Gaon, when it happens in Irin Dachas, what happens? We lose our Kedushas Yisrael. If majority of the city is Oved Avodah Zarah, you will now become Goyim, Bnei Noach. And therefore, it's not skill anymore. It's not a kula, it's not an auction. Rather, it's that you now lost your Kedushas Yisrael. So we treat you like a Bnei Noach. We treat you like a Goy. And therefore, Misasim Besayif. And therefore, writes the Zalman Gaon beautifully, that's why also, Memanon Avod. That's why their property is lost. They don't inherit their mama and their property to their children. Because the Gemara writes, when it comes to a melech and you rebel against the king takes all his property. That's part of the tax on you. He doesn't only respond to you, he responds to your property as well. Your children are not going to benefit from such a person's property. And that's the way the Ribbono Shel Olam responds to us. When it comes to an Eir Nidachas, we lost our Kedushas Yisrael, so therefore, we will now become Bnei Noach, and we will be killed, and we will lose our property as well. That's what the Mishnah means, lefichach, mamona avad. Therefore, their property is lost.
You lose the hasra too.
You lose the hasra too. But yeah, again, you had the hasra originally as Klal Yisrael, but you're right.
No.
Some of the Achronim say, exactly, that's the answer to the hasra problem as well, because you're now a Bnei Noach. Except, it's a little circular, because I only became a Bnei Noach once they paskined that I have a din of an Yer Nidachas. So you have to know how to exactly work that quirk into that problem. But it's a very good point. The Ksav Kabbalah says that exact Mahalat based on the Gra.
No, but they need theoretically another Azahara. Now you are going to be beside.
I agree. That's what he's trying to answer. However, the problem is that it's circular, because I only become a Ben Noach one Bez Ben Agoldo Paskin that I became a Ben Noach. Oh, if this is the case, this could shed light on our other question. Even if these children, like Rav Chaim Soloveitchik held, were over a Maisa Avera, we ask two questions. First of all, where do we find that minors are responsible for their actions? We ask also in the Mordechai, where was their distinction between an older minor and a younger minor? And also, why is Yerni Dachas a Yotzim and Aklal that we can't learn Hilchos Avelos from this halacha of Yerni Dachas? And the answer is, based on this Gra, that's the answer. If you look at the Chassam Sofer, and Chuvas has a discussion about a sugya. There was a story that a lot of times if you're in the farm, so you have to sell an animal that's about to have to have the bechor, so the bechor goes to the kohen. So now we don't have kohanim, we don't give it to the kohen. So if you own a farm, that's a serious problem. Halach lamai, so that's a problem. So what do they do? So the practice is that you sell the animal before it gives birth. You make a shutfus with a guy. So how do you make a shutfus with a guy? So I remember Rav Schechter was once called out of shir. Emergency phone call. He said, I'm in the middle of shir. He said, emergency phone call. So he picked up the phone. So he said, this person is the owner of a farm, and the animal is about to give birth, and there's going to be a bechor that comes out of this behema. That they have to know what to do. So Rav Schechter said, okay, fine. Sell the behemoth to a goy. Is there a goy around there? Yeah, there are many goyim around there. It's a farm. It's Idaho, whatever it is. So they sell it to a goy. So the guy said, fine, I have no problem. Well, what's the process? How do you do it? What's the law? So Rosh Hashanah says, he says to the Rav in Idaho, he says, you do Mechiras Chametz every year? So, you know, Mechiras Chametz, we do the Rav, if you watch the Rav, he does six kinyanim. He does six different processes with the process of acquisition with the non-Jew in order to sell the Chametz. So that, those six kinyanim are patterned after the halacha of Bechor. The Rishonim discuss selling a Bechor to a guy. So we pattern Mechiras Chametz after that halacha. So the Rav said, just do whatever you do when it comes to Mechiras Chametz. So the guy said, oh, fine, yeah, no problem. So then quickly the Rav calls back and says, can we go over again? What do we do about Mechiras Chametz? So forgot a shayla. He said they sold the behemoth to a guy, but then they found out that the guy was a minor, was a child. So they were worried maybe the whole acquisition didn't help. And this firstborn of this animal now is Kedusha. So what are we going to do? So Chassam Sofer said, how old was the child? So they said the child was 10 years old. So he says, that's enough for a guy. Fine. Because the Rambam has a contradiction. On the one hand, the Rambam tells us that when it comes to Bnei Noach, there's no halach of shiurim. Kizayis, Shavapruta, these are all halach lamosh misinai, only said to Klal Yisrael. However, the Rambam says we also don't give capital punishment when it comes to a guy, to ketanim. So you do apply shiurim to goyim. The Rambam says himself, he contradicts himself. On the one hand, he says shiurim, specific measures do not apply to goyim. However, he says also ketanim do not get capital punishment. So the Chassam Sofer answered, he says no. When it comes to goyim, there's a new level of godless. It doesn't apply at 13. That's a halacha moshe b'sinai. That's only said to Klal Yisrael. However, when it comes to goyim, when it comes to non-Jews, it comes to Bnei Das. Whenever they have some sense, they have a little bit of. No, the Rush says that shiurim are halacha moshe b'sinai. The Chassam Sofer explained that when it comes to goyim, that halacha moshe b'sinai won't apply, and the godless will only be at Das, at a level of when they have a basic understanding of what's going on. So if that's the case, in effect, you'll have gedolim, you'll have adults when it comes to goyim that are basically 8, 9, 10 that have some basic understanding of what's going on. writes the Vilna Gaon, if that, it writes the Chendes Yisrael with Meir Dan Plotsky, one of the illustrious Talmidim of the Avnei Nezer. He says, based on his Vilna Gaon, I can also understand what the story is with the children of the Irnei Dachas. Because if we're saying that these people lost their Kedushas Yisrael and they become non-Jews, so therefore their minors are responsible. When are their minors responsible? When they're of age to understand what's going on. When they have the godless of Bnei Noach. When they're a little bit of a Ben Das. So therefore, the re-response to Rabbeinu Tam, on the one hand, don't bring me a proof from Irnei Dachas. First of all, those children were over. Those children were older. They were older minors. Where do we find the halacha that it makes a difference whether or not a minor, he's a minor, he's under 13? The answer is, these are Bnei Noach. These are Goyim. According to the Vilna Gaon, it makes beautiful sense. Those were older children. So you can't bring a proof to younger minors. And secondly, writes the Ri, and even without that, this is an Irnei Dachas. This is an exception to the rule. This is a Yotzei Min HaKlal. Why is it an exceptional rule? Because these people lost their Kedushas Yisrael. These people were converted into Bnei Noach, and therefore they are dealt with Misafim B'Sayif. Their head will be chopped off. Their property will be lost, because just as a Bnei Noach, all they did, they rebelled against the Ribbono Shel. And I'll leave off with this. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim writes, a scary language, and the Rashi in Tshuvas brings this down l'halacha. The Rashi in Tshuvas in Barcelona was dealing with a lot of heretics, a lot of apikorsim that were saying you don't have to listen to the rabbis, you don't have to listen to the Rashba, you don't have to listen, you don't have to put on tefillin, it's enough to think about the tefillin, you don't have to eat, whatever you want to do, religion is not necessary, it's not binding, you don't have to listen to the rabbis. And the Rashba wrote a tshuva in response. The Rashba says, if you look at the Mor Nevuchim, and it's there in the Mor Nevuchim, the Irnei Dachas, it's misafim b'sayif, it's not a punishment. It's a response to rebellion. And that's exactly what the Vilna Gaon is saying. Just as every capital punishment when it comes to every Bnei Noach, every Goy, it's not a real punishment. There's no specific categories when it comes to penalties. It's a response to rebellion. So too writes the Rambam. In Irnei Dachas, a whole city uprooting a mitzvah of Avodah Zarah, collectively, acting together to rebel against the Ribbono Shel Olam, that is not a specific Avera of Avodah Zarah. That's much worse. That's Kfira. And this is a response to Kfira. This is not an Onesh. They don't even get the kapara that applies to Klal Yisrael, that applies to the banim lamakom, that applies to every other capital punishment. No, this is kfira, and therefore the response, the sayif that we'll give them, that is a response to this kfira. Achas kama v'kama. In these days of tshuvos, we should look at the mitzvos not only on a yachid scope, but rather if we have such a koach when it comes to an Irnei Dachas that we look at it as a kfira towards the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore Misasim B'Sayif writes the Rambam, and therefore these people rebelled against the Ribbono Shel Olam, alachas kama v'kama, the banim lamakom collectively, what we could do together, and we can become close to the Ribbono Shel Olam through our mitzvahs as a collective entity. It's this analysis and understanding of the Rambam that the Irnei Dachas collectively uprooting a mitzvah of the Torah as a city is kfira and a response to rebellion against the Ribbono Shel Olam, that we can understand another halacha brought down in the Rambam when it comes to Irnei Dachas. There's a very interesting debate discussed by many of the Achronim. You have a person, Edom came in and said he was Mechal Shabbos, he was Oved Avodah Zarah, he's Chayiv capital punishment. However, whatever happened is the Edom delayed themselves, they didn't come in, and we know he did something wrong, but we didn't have the specific explicit testimony. And a few years later the Edom came, they got around to come. But during that time, the person was Chozer B'Tshuva. The person became a tzaddik, he grew pious, he wears a bekesh, now he's a tzaddik gomer, he totally repented and is now a baal tshuva. Is there any way that we would say we would not administer capital punishment? Absolutely not. The Achron developed a concept that tshuva applies to bezin shalmaila, and tshuva doesn't apply to bezin shalmata. There's different reasons brought down. The Rabbi Yehuda says, because we have a concept, there's a concept, you have to kill. So therefore, we can't discuss tshuva when it comes to the Beis Din Shalmata. Others, there are Hashulchan, Ha'asid writes, that the reason is because
how do we ever know as Bezin Shalmata? We're only human. We don't know what's actually going on in his heart, whether he actually means it. So therefore, tshuva can't apply to the Bezin Shalmata, legabe, administering the capital punishment. The Maharal discusses that maybe it's because we only, when it comes to Bezin Shalmala, so they deal with both mitzvahs, averos, they discuss the whole, your whole resume, your whole, all of your career. However, we saw Maisa Avera and we killed him. We don't discuss, we don't keep cheshbon how many mitzvahs you have. We don't discuss, so therefore tshuva doesn't apply to us either. We don't keep a cheshbon. Whatever the halacha is, that seems to be the approach of many of the achronim, that tshuva does not apply to Bezin Shalmata. However, the Rambam seems to contradict this. The Rambam says when it comes to Yirin Yidachas, you send two aid in there, and if they're chozer, two Talmidei Chachamim to the ear, and if they're chozer b'tshuva, so they lose their status as Yirin Yidachas. So the Ravid says, he attacks, just like these achronim explain, tshuva. To inhibit the administration of administering capital punishment, so that we don't apply such a thing. Tshuva doesn't apply to Bezin Shalmata. The answer is the Rambam agrees that tshuva doesn't apply to Bezin Shalmata. The Rambam is specifically saying this halacha when it comes to Irani Dachas, because one of the qualifications of Irani Dachas is that they shouldn't be Bnei Olam Haba. The Mishnah starts that one of the people, that's why it's brought in Chelek in the last paragraph of Sanhedrin, Eilu She'en Lem Chelek Olam Haba, and Irani Dachas doesn't have a Chelek Olam Haba. These people that are heretics, that are kofir, that uproot a mitzvah in the Torah, and they're all rebel against the Rabbon Shalom, like we explained in Moreh Nevuchim, so these people lose their Chelek of Olam Haba, because they're like Goyim, they're like the Bnei Noach. So they don't have a part in Olam Haba. However, writes the Rambam, the second that they do tshuva, the second that they repent, so then they return back their Kedushas Yisrael, they retrieve their Chelek in Olam Haba, and therefore that status of Irin Yidachas, that added status of the Avodah Zarah, of the Kfira, is lost because they repented, and therefore now they are only dealt as Yechidim, as each one separately, as each one going to be stoned, chayev skila, but they lose that aspect of kfira, of irni dachas, that the Rambam and Moreh Nevuchim explain, because now they accepted on themselves the tshuva process, and therefore they are no more heretics, they are no more kofrim, and therefore, like the Rambam explained, they don't have the halacha of irni dachas. And the Rambam was specifically speaking about Irani Dachas, and he wasn't contradicting this analysis that tshuva does not apply to Bezin Shalmata. One of the halachos when it comes to Irani Dachas is that you should be a person that doesn't have a chelik in Olam Haba, a person who's gopher, a person who's like a Bnei Noach. And that's why the Rambam says when it comes to Irani Dachas, this is the exception to the rule. Does this ever have any ramifications of Lach Lamai? So this analysis that we presented, that a person who becomes a kofer, he becomes a min, a heretic, he therefore he rebelled against the Rabbonu Shalom, he becomes a Bnei Noach, like the Gra explained, and he loses the Chelek in Olam Haba, and therefore the children who are Bnei Das will be killed, and that's the specific halacha when it comes to Irani Dachas, and therefore we are killed with our heads being chopped off, Sayif, and our Nechasim, our property is lost. Does this have any ramifications, Halacha L'maisa? This concept of Bnei Noach, the fact that the children of Bnei Noach are killed at a younger age than 13, does this ever come up, Halacha L'maisa? So there's an interesting Ramah in Hilchos Shabbos. The Ramah discusses how we are supposed to interact with our children when it comes to Averos. What level of Chinuch we should try to ensure that at what age we should make sure that our kids are following Hilchos Shabbos properly and other halachos kashrus. So there's a lengthy discussion in Shulchan Aruch over there. And the Ramah writes, on a side, you should know when a katan becomes a gadol, the averus that he did as a katan, he should do tshuva for. Now this is very interesting, because we had a discussion earlier in the two sides of the Soloveitchik family, whether or not these children of the Irani Dachas they actually were Ovid Avodah Zarah, are they responsible for their actions? And Rav Chaim was of the opinion that yes, they themselves were Ovid Avodah Zarah, and we explained it could be because this was a special halacha when it comes to Bnei Noach, and therefore there's a younger age of responsibility, because when a kid becomes a Ben Das, by a Ben Noach, so that's when he becomes responsible for his action. Godless is a much younger stage. However, the Ramah seems to tell us over here that it comes to every Jew. The halacha is you're responsible for your action. There's a chakira in the achronim. A katan that doesn't get capital punishment. A katan that's not responsible, that doesn't get onshin. And that's the halacha. Until you become a Yud Gimel, let's leave out your nidachas for now, what we discussed. But the regular halacha is when it comes to ktanim until the age of 13, they're not responsible, they don't get punished for their actions. So why is that so? Is it that their Aveira is considered that they don't have any das, and they're not aware of what's going on, so we don't even look at it, we don't even view it as an Aveira at all? Or no, it really is an Aveira. Just we have we have Rachmanis, and we say, up until this person reaches the age of 13, we're not going to actually administer any punishment, and we are mochel on it. So how do you understand it? So the Ramah seems to take a side. The Ramah seems to say clearly, when a katan is over an avera, no matter what the avera is, when he becomes a gadol, when he gets older, so then he should do tshuva for those averas that he did as a katan. Apparently, the Ramah is of the opinion that when a katan did a ma'is avera, it's considered an avera. However, we don't necessarily administer punishment. He doesn't have full responsibility, and only until the age of 13 will we administer punishment. But it's technically considered an avera, and therefore it requires tshuva. That seems to be the approach of the Ramah. It seems to be a clear Ramah, clear in Shulchan Aruch. What's the chakira between the achronim? Rav Yitzchak Alchanan and Sefer Nachal Yitzchak writes, if you look at the sources for this Psak of the Ramah that the Nosei Kelim, the Mefarshim, and the Sayyid of Shulchan Aruch bring throughout Shas, you'll see a very interesting idea. One of the sources that's brought, the fact that a katan who did something when he was younger is responsible for his actions and has to do tshuva when he's older, is a Rashi in Bava Kama. Rashi on Tzadiches writes that Rav Ashi burnt shtaros, checks of people, when he was a minor, and he caused them a loss, and he had to pay them back when he got older. Apparently, you see, Rashi writes, the Trumas Hadeshin takes from there, you see that a katan is responsible for his actions and has to do tshuva, and it's considered a ma'is avera when he was a minor. The Magen Avraham quotes a different source. The Magen Avraham quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Nun Hei. The Gemara tells us that if a katan has relations with an animal, so we kill that animal. Why? Because we don't want it to be a takala for the future. What's a takala? So the Gemara says, people are going to see that animal walking on the street, and they're going to say, ah, that's the animal that this minor had relations and was over this avera with this animal. So we don't want that takala, we don't want people to recall that avera, that transgression. Therefore, we want to remove the animal from society, we don't want it to be cause for a takala, and therefore we kill the animal. Even though this person technically was a minor, and there wasn't necessarily an avera. And still, the Gemara calls it a takala. The Gemara refers to it as recalling an avera, a takala. So therefore, the Magen Avraham says, you see, another proof that the Psak of the Ramah, that a minor who does an Avera is considered an Avera. However, we don't actually administer punishment. But it's considered an Avera for purposes of tshuva when he gets older. And the last, the Gra writes a source in the Gemara in Shabbos, Yoshio HaMelech, we know he became king when he was 8 years old, and he judged a few cases, and he might have judged them wrong, so the Gemara says he had to do tshuva on those judgments. So, these are the cases. However, Nachal Yitzchak writes that if you look at every one of these cases that are brought as proofs of the Psak of the Ramah, that a Maisa Aveira of a Katan, transgression of a Katan, is considered actually an Aveira. They're all one of the categories of Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach. They're all one of the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach, either Gezel, either Arayos in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, dinim, gezel, whatever it is, those were shevim mitzvei Noach. The Nachal Yitzchak suggests the Ramah is not necessarily taking a stance in whether a minor's action is actually considered a transgression. And later on he has to do tshuva? No. It's specifically by these averos that when it comes to a kata, it comes to a minor who did one of the shevets, who transgressed one of the shevets bei Noach, so there we are more machmir. There we say that you even have to take responsibility for what you did as a minor. Why is that so? Because it could be that we respond to the shevets bei Noach parallel to the way the goyim have to respond. It can't be that a person who's standing at Matan Torah and accepting the Torah, he's now going to have lesser stringencies, less halachos than applied to him, and a less chomer life than applied to him when he was a goy. When it came to a goy, we wrote that the Chasam Sofer writes that a goy, a ben Noach, he a gentile, he becomes a gadol when he becomes a ben das, even under the age of 13. And now, when we accept the Torah, when it comes to these shevimits bei Noach that existed prior, so we're going to be makel on him, we're going to be more lenient, we're going to say, nah, you can even transgress it even until the age of 13. That can't be. It can't be that Matan Torah was a joke. It can't be that Matan Torah was a leniency. We are adding Kedushas Yisrael. We have more involvement in the halachos of the Avodas Hashem. So therefore, writes the Nachal Yitzchak, it's specifically those averos of Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach that the Ramah writes told Lasso's tshuva. And the Ramah was not necessarily taking a stance in this global hakira of many of the achronim of whether or not the Maisa Avera of a Katan is actually a Maisa Avera and therefore one has to do tshuva. Out of the box of Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, the Ramah wasn't necessarily speaking about. It was specifically Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach that we have to approach those averos with the same rules and regulations as the Bnei Noach, so we don't look at Matan Torah as a leniency and as a joke. This similar idea is expressed by the Or Sameach in a different area. He writes this also legabe the Shemus Bnei Noach that you have to also. Anything that was given Kodama and Torah, which therefore the godless was at a younger age because we didn't necessarily have full Kedushas Yisrael when we were Bnei Noach, so therefore even after Matan Torah we have to be machmir and be stringent about the age of godless when it comes to those mitzvot, those averus. However, there's a machmir, it's a striking lashon when it comes to Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah. He writes that the Rambam tells us a very interesting language. When it comes to chametz, the Rambam says, chametz afilu kol shehu is usher. Even a speck, even a little crumb of chametz is usher to eat on Pesach. Shenemar kol machmetzes, lo sochilu. So, the question, many of the achronim jump on the Rambam and they say, what do I need a special pasuk to tell me that a crumb of chametz is usher? We have a halacha that applies to all of the Torah. Chatzishir asur min haTorah. You don't necessarily need a kazayis. Even chatzishir, even less than a kazayis, even a crumb is also an avera called chatzishir. So why does the rabbi need a specific mucker when it comes to chametz? So many of the achronim deal with that question. It's not for now, it's another shir when it comes to Hilchos Pesach. You know, Yehuda has a tshuva about it, others discuss it. However, even once you answer that question, as the Nodu Yehuda answers very well, but where do you see it in the pasuk? So it says kol machmetzes. What does that tell? That tells me that it's even a crumb. How do I see that in the pasuk, right? The Or Sameach. I don't see what, because it says kol. We're making up these new drushes. Kol means even less than a kazayis. Where do we find such a halacha? So the Or Sameach writes, no. You want to know where the Rambam gets it from? The Rambam gets it from where the pasuk is situated in the Torah. The pasuk of Kol Machmetzes is said Kodem Matan Torah. It's said before Har Sinai. If that's the case, this was said as Bnei Noach. This was said before we had the Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai of Shiurim of Kezayis. If that's the case, it can't be that when it comes to Chametz, that now we are more lenient on ourselves once we got the Torah, that now only a Kazayas is Usur. And therefore, the Rambam is telling us that since this Pasuk is situated Kodem Matan Torah, is in a Pasuk before Matan Torah, therefore I know that even a Kolshehu, even a crumb of Chametz is Usur, just as the fact that we have to be Machmer, when it comes to the Sheva Mitzvei Noach, the Shear of Godless is much younger, because it's a Shear of Bnei Noach, so too writes the Or Sameach, that is the Halacha, that is what the Rambam is expressing to us when it comes to Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah, that the concept of Shiurim were not given at the time that this mitzvah was given, and therefore forever we have to be machmir because of this, when this mitzvah was introduced to us. Halacha l'maisa, whether one has to be machmir, don't think it's the minig to be machmir. It's just a beautiful analysis of Rav Yitzchak Elchanan and the Or Sameach and many, many of the achronim. I can go on, the Minchas Solas, the Devar Chaim, many of the achronim had this analysis when it comes to mitzvot that were said called them on Torah, when it came to Sheva Mitzvei Noach that were said to the goyim that didn't have shiurim, that there's an idea maybe to be machmir. Some even apply it to Kibud Av because it was given in Mara. Maybe to be machmir even further, even at a younger age for Ktanim, and that is what the Ramah is referring to, and it was an idea that some of the achronim had to explain the Ramah, and therefore you see this concept of godless of a Bnei Noach being at a younger age, according to some achronim, actually was relevant halacha l'maisa for our children as well.